This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Tonight is when it ends. Because we are all tired of you. You are not listening to me. You are not listening to these people. You are not listening to any of us. But tonight, we're going to make it so you have to listen to us. Because tonight, the Yes Movement is in full effect, and tonight, we are going to occupy Raw!
What? Ready? What does that mean? You mean occupy Raw?
You see, I'm not gonna leave this ring until I get what I want, which is a match with Triple H at WrestleMania. And I know that you've heard people say that all the time. They're not going to leave this ring. But tonight, I am not alone. I am going to fill this ring. I am going to fill this arena. I'm going to fill this whole place with the Yes Movement right here.
Okay, good evening and welcome to the latest Place to Be Nation roundtable. We're going to preview in WrestleMania tonight, and with me I have a plethora of wonderful co-hosts. I got my good buddy Johnny P, who directed, produced, filmed, edited, and everything else, the great ECW documentary Barbed Wire City. My good buddy Chris Zellner, who's been on a bunch of our podcasts with us. From the Wrestling Culture Podcast, I have Dylan Hells. And from the Titans of Wrestling here on Place to Be Nation, we have Johnny Sorrow. Guys, I wanted to talk to you individually, but time is short. I want to make sure we have plenty to say about the big show on Sunday, so we're going to jump right into it. And it was announced earlier this week that the pre-show match is going to be the four-way tag team for the tag team titles. And that's the Usos versus the Real Americans versus, help me out.
Ryback versus Los Matadores.
And the Matadores with their little Torito or whatever the fuck he's called. And so this is the pre-show. I'm kind of disappointed it's on the pre-show. But, you know, I guess a match had to go there. Hopefully, since it's a two-hour pre-show, they'll give these guys a good 15 minutes. There'll be no rush to push them out of the ring. Dylan, how do you see this going down tonight?
Well, I mean, I'm actually glad you went to me first because, to be honest, on paper, this is the match I'm most looking forward to, which is kind of funny. I was pretty disappointed that it was relegated to the pre-show, too. Not that there's necessarily anything terribly wrong with that spot. It's just they've got so much time to fill, and this being put on the pre-show tells me that, some other stuff I don't care about is going to get a lot of time. But it's going to be a good match, for sure. I think every single team in it is at least pretty good, at bare minimum. If you'd asked me a month ago, I would have said I thought it was a stone cold lock that the Real Americans were going to split up either right before Mania or at Mania. Now I'm not quite as sure, but I would lean towards saying that the Usos are going to retain the titles I would expect a pretty good, if not a really good opener, and that you will see the Real Americans split. What I would guess though is that they may not officially split until the following night on Raw. They'll probably maybe do it like a dissension angle or something like that, because I can't imagine them not having that split actually be on the main Mania broadcast. So they'll probably wait to do the split till the next night, but I think it'll be a good match, and I expect that the Usos will probably retain the titles.
What do you think, Johnny Sauer, about this match hitting the pre-show?
I think that it's going to be a lot different than what we talked about the other day with 28 in the pre-show, just being a quick tag match to make people pop and cheer. I think they're going to give it a lot of time. I think that it's and a lot of that reason is that it's on the network. It's a selling point of the network, and a lot of people have been saying, you know, when everything eventually switches completely over to the network and pay-per-view is dead, there's not going to be a pre-show. It's just going to be one big show. Unlike something you got to, you know, some cable companies have the pre-show, some don't. As far as the match is going to go down, I agree 100% with Dylan. That sounds exactly right. The Usos are going to win because they just won the belts, and it'll be a positive cheering moment to start. And I think the Real Americans will break up at the Mania, but you're right. Something will happen and it'll go down on Raw. Like Zeb will call a meeting in the ring or something. So yeah.
My good buddy Johnny P, what do you think is going to happen in this tag match?
Oh, similar to Dylan, he took a lot of the words out of my mouth. My logic goes like this: the Matadors, it only works if it works in that bubble for kids. But I mean, Raw is pretty much an adult show, so unless the tag titles are only gonna be, it's gonna be exclusive to 8 to 9 p.m. That won't happen. they hate Ryback and Curtis Axel, so I don't even know why they have jobs, just because it just seems like WWE just finds new reasons to hate them. And for some reason, Cody Rhodes and Goldust aren't in this match. So who's left? Oh, the breakup? The breakup's going to happen, like Dylan said. You know, I would see it happening at Raw. I think they'll just tease it really heavily, have them pretend like they're cool, and then Cesaro will kill him and do the big swing, and like 10,000 of the 15,000 there at Raw will be Europeans and all go insane. So who's left? Wait, who's what is the other team?
The Usos.
Yeah.
The Usos. Yes, the Usos win. They retain. There you go.
Oh, and Cesaro. And Cesaro's going to swing the midget.
the little person.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris, it'll get a lot of time, by the way, because they have a lot of time to kill on that pre-show. I mean, they certainly gave Miz and I think it's Wade Barrett. I was there last year live, and I was shocked at how much time they gave those guys. So they'll give them a good amount of time for this match. It'll be fun, you know.
I hope you're right. Chris Z, do you disagree with anything that's been said so far?
No, the breakup is definitely coming either Sunday night or Monday night or Tuesday night. It's coming up during this next week, I would think. I think the Usos to win, and the main reason for that is I think they'll be chopping those belts to the Ascension fairly soon. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with all of you. I think the Real Americans win because I think the little midget turns on the Matadors and joins the Real Americans. He gets his green card.
The midget, God, I want you to be right.
Card. And they have a big group, a Real American group hug with the midget. And
I thought I was the pothead here. Jesus.
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
Okay, that's my fantasy book in there, Johnny. Obviously, actually, I think all of y'all are right. Usos win, Real Americans break up, and hopefully Cesaro gets a good face push. But I think that baby face, you know, top is going to be real crowded. So I don't know. I would hold off on the breakup right now. I think Cesaro's in a good spot. And personally, I'd wish for the Real Americans to win the belt. But let's move on. So next, Johnny Sauer, we have the women's Vicky Invitational Divas title match with all 14 divas that are officially listed on the WWE website. I checked because I was curious. Is there any active woman on the roster that they did not put on this match? And when I checked, it was no. The only other women that were listed were Lillian Garcia and that announcer chick. And so, Johnny, how do you think this is going to go down?
I'm going to go have a smoke and not pay much attention to it, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, But I don't know. I don't really care. I think
pick a broad to win, Johnny. Come on.
Pick a broad to win. Okay. Well, no, wait. It's 15. Part of me is like surprise entrance 16th. A new Hall of Famer, Lita, and comes out and Punk's ex beats Punk's new fiance for the belt. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, you are high. You're definitely high. Josh, CP, any thoughts on this wonderful women's match?
I don't even know half of these women. I want AJ. What's that?
I said, does it matter if you know?
No. It's whatever. I think I'm going to pick AJ Lee, and I'll be out in the back with Johnny Sorrow smoking. But yeah, I'm gonna prognosticate Sarah Del Rey run in, followed by an awesome Kong run in, followed by a Trish Stratus run in, and then Big Show throws him all over the top rope, and he wins.
No. The surprise entrant will be the ghost of Leilani Kai, so they can harken back to 30 years ago.
Shit, I think Mae Young
is going to make sure none of these women win. So somehow
they got Mae Young's corpse. They can still roll her out there.
Oh God. Too soon.
Weekend at Maze.
Zellner, save us, man. Save us.
I think, there's talk now that AJ may actually come out of this match with the title, which would be amazing considering that it's 15 people or 14 people against her. But if she doesn't win, I think Summer Rae wins. I think that they really want to get on her right now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to go to somebody who's on that show because it's going to be part of that show. So Summer Rae pinning Natalya would probably make the most sense right now.
What about you, Dylan?
I think Brie Bella's going to win. I think eventually there's going to be a tie-in with Stephanie McMahon and Daniel Bryan and all the stuff that's going on in the main event storyline. And they've sort of been teasing it through social media, you know, with Brie and Nikki. And there has to be some sort of physical confrontation. And modern WWE is not going to have, you know, Daniel Bryan beat Stephanie McMahon within an inch of her life, obviously. So I think there's a good chance that you could end up seeing a Brie Stephanie McMahon match coming up, but I think there's also a good chance that could be with a title involved. And since she's already on Total Divas, she kind of fits the other criteria, which is somebody that's on that show. And it could theoretically fit the criteria of like the add to the feel good moment of Daniel Bryan. I mean, it wouldn't make a difference to me one way or the other, but I think that would be a very typical WWE way of selling the totality of the feel-good moment. So I expect Brie Bella to win.
Okay, that's actually a very logical and rational choice. I'm going to go with the one-eyed Funkadactyl. Which one is that?
She's two eyes again, by the way. No more eyes. Get the patch on Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go with her as a kind of a we're sorry about your eyeball spot. That's the only thing I can think of, and she is also on the Total Divas show, so I think she's good. But I didn't even think about Brie Bella winning, man. That's a very rational and well thought out winner there. So
if any Bella wins, it'll be Nikki, I think.
Wow. Okay. See. So
if they have that redhead with no personality win, though, that's just.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we've probably spent more time on the Divas match than the WWE did in booking the match. So let's move on. We have the 30-man Andre the Giant tribute battle royal, and there are still 3 spots left.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm not going to name all 27 guys that have been listed. For me, I think there's only like 3 guys that could be possible winners. But Johnny P, who do you think's coming out on top of the Battle Royal?
I'm getting a crap match for this, for being first. Damn, okay. Well, Big Show's way too obvious. And by the way, was it Chris that said Summer Rae? Because that's a sneaky good pick, if I'm being serious.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, Big Show's a little too obvious because it just seems like they're trying to go for something there. So even though that would make sense and I'd be fine with it, God damn, like these first three matches, in all respect to the pre-show match, I'm not super invested, but I see why Dylan's like very interested in this match. I'm like, oh man, there's some ones that I'm going to be kind of daydreaming through on this. Because I'm not a fan of Battle Royals usually unless it's like the Royal Rumble, which is, you know, a different type of Battle Royal. But one pick, I don't know who's going to win because I don't think it'll be Big Show. I'm going to go with, isn't Claudio in this? I'm sorry, Cesaro.
No.
He's not? Oh, no. See, I thought they could have done something sneaky there where they had him win the tag belts and then had one of them throw the other guy over in the Battle Royal, and then you've got, I guess it's very Russo-rific at this point, but within WWE, I don't know that they've done like feuding champions since like Jesus, like Kurt Angle and Benoit. So for lack of really, I'll be honest with you guys, I did not pay a lot of attention to the build for this because Hulk Hogan was on a lot for it and I just changed the channel. So I guess I have to go with Big Show because I don't remember who's in this. So I'm sorry. I got to pass to somebody who's more intelligent than me about this.
Chris Zellner, I know you have studied this. You have written notes. Who's your winner for the Battle Royal?
I think Sheamus wins, and I think he eliminates Big Show in the process. And I think that it may lead to Sheamus going heel to freshen him up, get him back on the scene as a top guy. So that's what I'm leaning to now, although I would not be surprised if they put Alexander Rusev in there and he won it.
Dylan?
You know, I actually think Sheamus is the safest pick in the sense that I think I agree with Chris that he's the most logical person to have win in a lot of ways based on what he needs going forward and where he is on the roster and where he is on the card. The big thing to me with this match is that this match was a huge enthusiasm killer for me for the whole show because it pretty much guaranteed that there was not going to be any more undercard matches involving guys
I
was interested in, whether it be an IC title match or so. I mean, to me, this was like was a huge kick in the nuts to the show itself. I see this as a burial ground. I understand the idea of wanting to get everybody on the show. I think that's kind of cool that they're, you know, at least making an effort to do that. But the flip side of that is it really is pretty obvious that it's just a junkyard. They were just going to dump everybody into this rather than try and build any fresh or interesting undercard matches. And when they have a two-hour pre-show, they could have easily had something else involving most of these guys on that show. So there was really no reason to do it other than just being lazy as fuck. But, I think Sheamus is a safe pick, but I kind of think Big E is going to win. And I was drifting away from that until he started eating these senseless falls on TV. But that is so typical WWE to have a guy lose on TV for the sole purpose of fooling the rubes. And then he goes and turns around and wins on the bigger match and bigger stage. So that's kind of my, I don't know if it's an oddball pick, but that's my pick.
Actually, that was not one of my four guys or three guys. So kudos to you, Sorrow.
Oh, number one, I love Battle Royals, so I'm quite happy with this. So, I'm looking forward to this. I hope the statue is actually of Andre. Like, then the guy carries around an Andre statue for a year or something.
Now, like a life size statue or like a Owen Hart?
Yeah, life size. He's got to drag it around and check it. When he's flying.
Uses it as a foreign object. Yeah.
He's a manager. He just stands in the corner. It'd be just like the old 1970s managers and just stand in the corner and do nothing. One thing I think you're going to get in this is the seeds of the Rhodes Brothers breakup. I don't know why. I just think that's either one of them accidentally knocking the other over or doing the whole, hey, bro, it's every man for himself. But I think this will be the seeds of that. If they're going to do that, I don't know. But I don't know. For some reason, that's been on my mind for a while. I don't think they were going to do that. And as far as who's going to win, I'm going to actually go with Big Show. I think they're going to go with the Giant wins the Tribute to the Giant thing. I think they're going to be that obvious. or The Miz?
Oh, no.
I got to hear this.
He may be the first one eliminated.
No,
I could actually see them giving it to him.
One of two things. Either he gets in and everyone drops what they're doing to immediately throw. Oh, no, so that's the Rumble. Where just a big group of them immediately just grab him and toss him right away. That, which is more like, or he hides, he does the, maybe does the old Jimmy Hart hide under the ring thing for it, and wins it, and everyone goes, you know, goes crazy booing, you know, both the casual fan or the marks and the smart fans all booing collectively at The Miz, and I would love that. I think that'd be glorious.
Okay, so you know, the only three people that I thought could have a chance in hell of winning this were The Big Show, Sheamus, or a Rusev. And Rusev has not been announced for this. I just think he's going to be one of the last three guys. And so, realistically, that's who I think. One of those three. I'm leaning towards Rusev coming in and getting the big win and maybe
what
doing
about a legend? One of the Hall of Famers. Who do you think, you know, they might be tossing him in?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know who has hips that could take a bump outside right now. No. I mean, honestly, I mean, Edge can't even get in there. He's probably the youngest Hall of Famer they have, right? I mean,
Here's a question. Did we think there's a possibility they put Jake in this since he's going to be at the Hall of Fame the next
quarter? That's what I'm getting at, is one of the current crop, you know, one or two of the current crop being put into this thing, because they can just stand in the corner.
Jake and Scott Hall with DDP in their corner or something. Or
there's always Carlos Colon.
Oh, man.
Hey, I don't think they'll let Carlos Colon in this because someone might just touch his forehead and there'll be blood all over the mat. They won't. You know,
I love it if they put Hogan in it and he didn't do anything and won it.
It's tribute to his best friend Andre. Yeah. Oh God.
Let me tell you something, brother.
You know, realistically though, I think if Rusev is in it, I could see them having Rusev and Big Show kind of like both falling out of the ring at the same time, and then Sheamus ends up winning it. But my fantasy booking, just much like I want to see Torino join the Real Americans, my fantasy booking would be the rehabilitation of Mark Henry, where the Hall of Pain comes back and he just devastates everybody and kind of, you know, reestablishes his evil character. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's even a 2% chance of that happening. But it's my fantasy book, and if I was the book for Mania, that's exactly what I would do. So
I think this battle was to get heat on Big Show, because, I mean, they set it up for Big Show to win.
I know what they did, but it sucks.
Yeah, for somebody to eliminate him. that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get moving to a match that I know Johnny Sorrow, I think this is the reason he's watching this show. And this is The Shield versus Three Schmucks. And I'm sorry, The Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws. And so my good buddy Chris Zellner, how do you see this going down? Do you think this lasts more than 5 minutes? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I think it'll go 10, at least 10, because they got to fill time on this show. The Shield's going to, you know, do what they do. Rollins, I think we may see the most insane Rollins that night that we've seen so far. I think he's really going to step it up. Reigns is going to be, you know, hyped up to do what he can do on the big stage. And I think they may tease some more dissension with Ambrose. I kind of doubt it right here, because I think they want to have a good little run for them as baby faces. They're going to win. There's no doubt about it. I think Mr. Ass will do the job, of course. And hopefully this will be the end of the New Age Outlaws on television. Although I do kind of dig Brian Armstrong as the announcer, you know, as the heel announcer. That could be a future for him on one of these shows, have him announcing. But
he's very good. He is very good.
Total Shield spotlight match.
Okay, Dylan, so I think we're all going to say the Shield wins this, unless, you know, WWE wants to be swervy, but I think they win this. The real question, how long does this match last?
Well, it's going to have to last a while. Now, I mean, logic and common sense and sanity would say that it should be over in about 2.5 minutes and, you know, the old farts get destroyed in relatively simplistic fashion. But the reality is they've put themselves in a position where I don't think any match can be less than 10 minutes. I mean, I don't see how any match that's going to be on the main card can be, unless we're going to have, like, you know, these sort of 45-minute-long video package slash entrance combos for all three or four of the biggest matches, which is possible, I guess. So I think this will go 10, 15. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was over 15 minutes. I don't think it will be, but I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. The Shield are going to win. I mean, that's, I would hope. But this is sort of another match that is just so, on the one hand, I'm really glad they kept the Shield together, because I think it was a better move, at least in the short term, for them not to break up yet. But on the other hand, you know, you've got Harper and Rowan sitting right there without a match for the show.
Yep.
And Harper's one of the best guys in the promotion right now, maybe the best in the ring so far this year. And he doesn't have a match on the show. One of the only guys who doesn't have a match on the show. And there could have been a very easy way to integrate them into some match with the Shield for the show. They didn't do it, and now we're going to get a match that has to go longer than it should. And it's just another example of a match that I have absolutely no interest in, and I don't understand what the rational argument is for even having it on the show.
Johnny, give us that rational argument.
The rational argument is that these guys who were, you know, mercenaries for hire, who were only answering to Triple H, and even then, they're, you know, now that middle management tried to tell them what to do, and they're like, "Well, we're above middle management," and therein is the end face turn, which everyone keeps going. Lots of people keep saying, "Oh, Ambrose is going to turn and join the Authority." If they do that, I will be really upset, because I love the dissension of the breakup, and then they come back together, and they are so over as faces that there's just money to be made, and I want to see them. I love seeing the ass-kicking heels not change how they do anything, but then turn it around and beat up the more hated heels, who, of course, would be these guys. And it's a generation's it's Attitude Era versus the new blood. What was it, WCW? The Millionaires Club and all that, but they did it wrong and had the Millionaires Club
and that
the baby
so
faces.
Well.
Yeah, they were the baby faces. yeah. I'll take the guys and make them the baby faces, the Millionaires. You know, no. The old guys who now are, you know, the Outlaws are wearing suits. You know, it's someone called that cheap heat, but I love it. You know, these guys were once, you know, running around pissing on motorcycles and shit, and now they're, you know, in their old age, and they're wearing suits and hanging out with Kane, and they're part of the management trying to teach these youngsters a lesson. I don't think it's going more than 10. And I think everyone's talking about how much time they're going to fill up. They almost never announce the musical acts that are going to fill up time at these modern WrestleManias. I remember the year with Kid Rock. They did like hype. Kid Rock's going to perform. I just remember watching it going, why the fuck is Kid Rock doing a concert in the middle of the show?
Who's hurling in the toilet? That's what I want.
Not I.
Damn.
That was an honor to New Age Outlaw.
Oh, the Outlaws are awesome. Screw you. I love the Outlaws.
All right.
But I want them to, after this is the last run. You know, I don't want them sticking around and everything, you know. And you're right, Road Dogg needs to be in the booth in a big way. He's very good.
Johnny P., anything to say about this match?
All right, let me run through these bullet points. First of all, I'm so glad we're talking about this match for several reasons, one of which is I'm sick of Chris and Dylan sounding all smart after I go with actual smart things. As eloquently as I can put that. listen, I'm from the Northeast. I live in between New York City and Philadelphia, and I've been an indie geek forever. Finally, something I can sink my teeth into. I am very, very excited for this match against all my rational thought because it involves the Shield. I am an unabashed Shield mark. I have watched several of their matches 4 and 5 times. I've gone back and actually, well, I'm not kidding here. This is what a psycho I am. I went back and watched Freebird's matches to compare the two just because I'm obsessed with the idea that this is like the best three-man team. I love both of those. I think the result's kind of, in my mind, a foregone conclusion, or it should be. I mean, the Shield's winning. What's more interesting to me is what's coming out of this. I know it'll be fun. It'll be a neat match. I actually love the Shield match from last WrestleMania. I feel like I might be the only one who praised it.
I enjoyed it.
Well, good. Good. My whole thing here is what comes out of this. And for me, what it has to be is, you know, Hunter and Steph have kind of like danced around these guys, but we really haven't seen too much. I'd like to see these guys have more teeth. This is one of the things that bums me out about the quote unquote PG era kind of stuff is they don't, and it might not even be that. It might just be that they're not high enough to really go forth. I wish they would be a little sharper, a little more off the cuff in these segments backstage where they once in a while run into Hunter and Steph. What I want to see is them beat the crap out of these guys. And then Hunter to transition from whatever happens later, which we'll get into, to dealing with the Shield in some way and something interesting coming out of that. I just see them, they could have a really fun babyface run, and they have that rugged kind of anti-authority, tired assassins kind of thing. You could do something with that. Not that I want Hunter involved in even more angles, but if he's going to be. So why not use him to get even more young people over? If that's kind of what's going on here, hopefully, knock on wood. So I'll go with the Shield, and I think it'll actually be more enjoyable than people think.
For my sake, I hope you're right, but I'm with Dylan in the sense that I wanted to see a Shield six man at WrestleMania. This was not the Shield six man I wanted because. I just, you know, I see other tag teams like Dylan mentioned there. The Real Americans could have been inserted in this one instead of the four-way tag, whatever. You know, I just really bummed out about the match itself. But I think that with the other six matches on the card, you know, with a battle royal that's probably going to go long with a 14 women or 15 women Divas match, I think that'll get more time than most Divas matches. I could see this going 2 minutes, 3 minutes with just pure Shield destruction here. Just to really put them over, you know, kind of get Roman Reigns over with that Superman punch, spear, triple power bomb, that face stomp that Rollins does, and then that move, what do you call it? Let the freak flag fly or something? The freakish mind. What's Ambrose's finisher called? Peace of mind.
The peace of mind is Rollins.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
His is a bad.
The fringe something, isn't it?
No. That's a stupid thing. It was something like bad intentions or something. Like
okay,
that.
There you go. I just want all those guys to deliver their finishers and their signature spots in the match, Shield stand united, and then maybe something happened in the post-match that sets up their next program.
Hey, real quick, this just occurred to me, a way for it to actually go a little longer and protect the old guys from having to you know, keep it up in the ring with these three, if Kane uses his authority to turn it into, you know, anything goes street fight.
That would be good. Make it a gimmick match, kind of protect through gimmicks and trickery. I'm all for
that. And that gives Rollins a chance to like jump off a fucking ladder or something, you know, and
jump off a ladder and push Mr. Ass's face through the mat after he gives him the peace of mind off a ladder. I'm all for that, Johnny. And that'll be the last we see of Billy Gunn in the WWE. He's horrible.
God willing.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk. So we've kind of burned through the pre-show matches. Now we're going to get to like our four, I would call them all main event caliber matches here. And we'll start with Dylan on this one, and that is John Cena versus Bray Wyatt, man. How do you think this is going down? How do you think it's going to end up as a match? Who's going to win? What's going to happen?
Well, this is actually, I think, the match that, honestly, if you ask me to pick the match ahead of time, which I expect to be the best match on the show, would be this. Because John Cena, in my opinion, is probably the best big match worker in the history of the WWE and one of the best big match wrestlers of all time. And Bray Wyatt, while I don't think he's shown himself to be terribly consistent, he's certainly shown himself to be a guy who can wrestle a really violent match and hold up his end of a really good match, whether it be those six mans against the Shield or whether it be the match with Daniel Bryan at Royal Rumble. So I think the question, of whether or not it's going to be good, I think almost for sure it should be good. In fact, I would say that there's really a very strong likelihood that this is going to be a truly great match. I think logically, especially given what I think is going to happen at the end of the show, I believe Bray Wyatt is going to win. I think he's going to win effectively, if maybe not completely clean. There might be some distraction from Harper and Rowan, but basically clean in the sense that I don't think it's going to be a three-man beatdown and then the referee's knocked down. And then, I don't think it's going to be anything that cheap. I expect Bray to win outright. I think he should win outright because I think he needs it. It may surprise some people. I think Bray is going to get a lot of babyface style response in that building. I think he'll, that may be not the right term, but he's going to be cheered. There's going to be a big segment that's going to cheer him.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, and I think he will win clean. And I think he needs to, especially if what I think is going to happen in the main event happens, because there's a logical opponent right out of the gate then for Daniel Bryan. The only real question with this match is, do they give it a place on the card? Because card placement can be a big deal at WrestleMania. As somebody who was at WrestleMania 27, I thought the worst part about that show was the way the card was arranged, not necessarily the quality of the show itself.
Right.
And
same thing for 28. Same thing for 28.
Yeah, and this is a show where I feel like where they put this match on the card could determine, how well it gets over and how well a potential Bray Wyatt win is received. So that's something to kind of look for that you can't really predict ahead of time, or not comfortably predict anyway.
Okay, what do you think, Sorrow?
I think it's going to be a great match. I agree. I'm a big fan of Bray Wyatt. His style, it's the chaotic the way he works. I just love it.
You're right. So unorthodox.
I know. It's I love it. And of course Cena. Like Dylan said, best big match worker ever. You can't argue. I don't think you can even argue with that. I want Bray Wyatt to win, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it. I want him to win. He should win. I want this feud to go on a little bit longer. I've been enjoying when it first started, I was like, okay, slow build. But over the last 2 weeks, I've been just like, oh, this is the shit. This is my wrestling. Sort of ridiculous, but treating the ridiculous seriously, Kevin Sullivan-esque and Cena's dusty and, the man of the people versus, the man of the devil and the thing with Cena infiltrating behind them in the dark and the mask and, logically it was, they're just staring at him, oh, well, hey, who's this? Our cousin? Didn't immediately attack the guy who's standing there looking at him, but it worked so well, and I've been loving it. And Cena delivered probably my favorite promo he's ever done on Raw.
Yeah,
just right down when he's just like, "Yeah, boy, yeah," and he's like, "Let me tell you something, son. It's gonna end with my foot up your ass," and just walked away. And I was like, "Fuck yeah, fuck yeah! Oh, that's so cool. I'm really looking forward to this a lot. I think this is." As big as a Daniel Bryan fan as I am, I think this is going to be the match that steals the show.
I agree. What about you, Johnny P?
First of all, I forgot to say, you reminded me, because we got to the Bray Wyatt match. If Bray Wyatt doesn't win this, I would actually be shocked, and I don't know why he would have been in this match if he wasn't going to win, quite frankly. Especially given that, you know, Cena talks so much about, like, oh, he wants the younger guys to jump up and steal the spotlight and all these things. And we know that he's not adverse to trying to make people. I mean, he's definitely, you know, shown that he's willing to lay on his back for a clean three to try to get somebody over. So I really think Bray Wyatt should win. And if he's not, then we really, really should have had that Shield Wyatt's six man at Mania that I really wanted that I didn't mention before, which also reminds me, I want a web series. I'm going to produce, this is my next project. I'm announcing this on the show.
Talk to me.
It's going to be, this is a scoop for you. It's going to be Dylan explaining to casual fans things about wrestling. Like he's going to be talking to little kids in John Cena. They're all going to be dressed up in John Cena gear, and they're going to be like, Cena is awesome. And they're going to just say, like, Randy Orton's a jerk. And then he's going to be like, well, actually, the best worker. And then they're going to go, the what? He's going to go, the best worker is Luke Harper. And then he's going to get into this, like, analytical thing, and they're going to stare at him oddly, and he's going to stop, and he's going to look at him and reassess, and then go, let me tell you kids about a guy named Ken Patera. It's just going to go from there. I got at least 10 episodes in my head. Dylan, I'll talk to you off the air. Those are my basic thoughts on it. This should be a really great match. Somebody said Cena is one of the best big match workers, which, I mean, he's been in like 75% of matches that were given that big match time, but he's really come through in almost all of them for years. I think Bray is ready to step up. It's weird seeing his character come together from city to city. Like, certain cities are really hip to it and they like it. It's something different. And other cities are just like, we don't understand what's going on here. You got a Mania crowd. So it's always, and it's weird because I was there last year. It's hard for everybody to kind of unify with stuff because there's seriously 75,000 people in an arena or a stadium rather. But I do think that night and the next night, you'll have so many hardcores. It'll help kind of propel him, and kind of in the way 2 years ago, Daniel Bryan was kind of propelled, even losing to Sheamus. In this weird way, it ended up being, like, oddly enough, the best thing to happen to him because it kind of galvanized the fan base and built over time. I think the same thing will happen with Wyatt, and I just hope it doesn't kind of turn him babyface too early in a way where it's like a cool thing to really like that guy. Cause that's the weird thing for somebody like me. If I was in the arena, I'd really want to just boo the guy, even though I love him to death, because I want him to get over as like this big monstrous heel who cuts great promos and backs it up in the ring.
Let me get this straight, Johnny. So your prediction is Bray Wyatt kisses Eric Rowan and then Cena hits the FU in a pin in 18 seconds.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and Dylan announces the match somehow.
So. Hey, you know, I got to add what you were saying, Johnny, about something I mentioned before about these all the Europeans in the crowd who come from WrestleMania. Then Bray Wyatt might not get that reaction because it seems to me a lot of the people, at least I see, who don't understand his character all happen to be European.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. I just assumed that
it's a very
Europeans
American
are like hip to things.
I'm not even joking. It's if you read it on PWO, everyone goes like, I don't get this. You know, it seems to be from England.
So Chris Zellner, here's the question. Have enough Europeans seen True Detective to get the Bray Wyatt character?
Europeans don't get that Southern cult minister gimmick anyway. That don't surprise me. Short sweep, Bray Wyatt wins this because he's the only heel that's going to get a big one on the show. It's just that simple. This feud will continue. They'll have a rematch at Extreme Rules. You know, it's just that simple.
Okay. Well, you know what? I want Bray Wyatt to win as well. That's why I think the Usos are going to lose the belts, man. I mean, that's a lot of faces going over, you know, on this show if you know, they're going to send everyone home happy like that. So I think I agree with Dylan, though. I think this will be the best match on the show running away. My only hope is that they have it early enough to where they do like the intermission, the Hall of Fame, you know, the charity work commercials, all that stuff in between this and like another big match, you know, to kind of give the crowd time to calm down or something. But moving on, let's go on to a match that's well, if you watched the UFC pay-per-view where Brock Lesnar encountered Undertaker, when did that happen? Like a year and a half ago?
No, it was longer than that.
Oh, it's longer than that.
But maybe 2 years ago. But you remember that when Undertaker was being interviewed?
2011.
Yeah, and then what did Undertaker tell Brock Lesnar? You want to get Froggy son, or you want to go son, or something like that? And you know, and then all of a sudden, finally, these two meet in the ring. I'm kind of in the camp that says that up until this past week, Brock Lesnar kind of looked like a bitch for a month. Johnny Sorrow, agree or disagree?
When you read it on paper, yes. But watching it, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's Brock. You know, like, okay, he just got thrown over the top rope, landed on his head on top of the casket, and then rolled out and then got up and was like, "Rrr!" I'm just like, yeah, he's just, you can throw him around, but you can't really hurt him. So I just haven't gotten that feeling of it, of where everyone's like, oh, Brock's looked like a bitch. Like, it's like, I was like,
you forgot the pin thing and then
even then, I mean, this guy's had all that happen to him and nothing seems to affect him in the long run. I just like, when I look at Brock Lesnar, to me, it almost doesn't matter, you know, unless he started crying in the ring and put on a diaper, maybe. And I'm not going to buy that. He's still can kill you.
We do
no matter what.
Matches on this show, man. I could easily see this being the diaper match of the show.
Yeah, they have done it. Yes. I'm going to love the entrances, and I'm a big Taker fan now, and I've been a fan of all the Taker matches of the past 6 years. But I just don't know about this one. When he first came out, I'm looking at him like, he looks fragile. And I hope I'm proved wrong. I hope they have a great match.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If they go all fake MMA throughout the whole thing, I'll be bored. So, you know. If any match could actually use the whole, and now it's a no disqualification street fight, maybe this. To me, I don't have high hopes for it. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. So you like the build up more than you are excited about the match? Then
I think oh, Tigger just looks so fragile and old.
Yeah. Well, he certainly made Brock look like a bitch. What do you think, Johnny P?
Oh man, I wanted to really get excited for this. Like, I was excited when I started hearing about it in like November, December. And then like, it bums me out because, I mean, Brock had such a good match at SummerSlam with Punk last year that kind of like established him again as like a badass. And then he comes out, and I love that they, even though, you know, we had heard for months, you know, what the kind of the plan was, I love that they made it, him and Heyman made it like, oh, well, we want the title. We're not going to do this open contract. And then Taker comes out and they stare at each other. And then Brock like writes his name on the contract and he's staring him too. And it's like, oh, two badasses. This is going to be great. And then Taker just threw him through a table. And that level of physicality and the way that Brock just got manhandled there, like the first thing you see between them, I was just like, well, okay, well, I already know that the streak's going to continue, but could you kind of fool me for a minute? And I don't know. I feel like they did a decent job of trying to recover on Monday, but everything, even the other week when he came out of the casket and Brock's like afraid of him, then he tries to throw a punch and Taker just kind of slapped him around. And again, the whole thing with Taker, I mean, man, is he really put on a hell of a show the last couple of years in his older age for the miles on that body. But I want to be pleasantly surprised, but the buildup itself is something. Like, I feel like the match will actually be better than the way I'll remember it in a year or two, because I'll just remember the buildup more. And I hope I'm totally wrong and I'm just being like overly critical or negative for like no reason. You know, I hope I walk out of there going like, I'm not even going to remember that all that stuff happened.
Wow.
I just kind of worry about it. You know, I wanted to be excited about it. I'm kind of bummed about this. Yeah.
Okay. Zellner.
Hey, real quick. Because I wanted to add in the one thing I think did work and they should have pushed more was Heyman doing the promo saying that the reason why Taker had such a hard time over the last couple of years isn't because it was HBK and Triple H.
It's a sign that he's getting old.
I'm going to counter that. Well, you don't do that because if you go by the old wrestler adage, you never criticize the guy's age, because then if you beat him, you're just beating an old man.
No, well, he is old. I mean, we've watched this guy for 20 years.
No, I know, but it's like it's one of those old wrestler things that you just don't do. Like, well, what's the big deal in beating him?
It made sense. When Heyman did it, it made sense. Like, oh, that's a nice retcon.
Yeah.
The reason why those matches with HBK and Taker were so long and crazy wasn't because of the reasons we know about. It's because Taker's getting old. I'm like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's fine. Chris Z, bummed or excited about this match?
I think we can guarantee one thing. This will probably be this match gets the highest star rating by Meltzer. that's one thing we can guarantee. I think, and people in the company have said this, that they weren't too pleased with how Brock was portrayed these past few weeks either. So there were some questions from inside the company about that.
They fucking put it on TV. Who's not pleased with it?
I think it came from wrestlers, not people that got any say now, of course, because they're the ones that did. But it's so obvious, of course, Undertaker's going to win. And even people that, you know, don't follow, you know, online, like people I know, they all, you know, since the match has been announced, they say, well, it's no brainer. You know, Undertaker's winning, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you definitely know that the result going in. It's just how the match is going to go. Brock's going to put out the effort, you know, to make it a match. That's one thing we've seen him do. Taker, I don't know if Brock right now is the right opponent for Taker. I'm sure they're probably going to definitely do a lot of MMA type shit, because Taker loves that shit, and, you know, Brock, and the LCC said about that. So that's going to happen. Taker is getting old, like Johnny Sorrow said, and we're seeing that. So he's only got a couple more runs left in him. I don't think this will go as long as the epics we've seen over the past few years with Triple H and Shawn. So, yeah, I think it's 20 minutes, maybe 30 at the most. I kind of doubt that.
God, I hope it doesn't.
But I think Taker is probably going to they're going to further this whole thing about how he's surviving these matches. That's one thing Heyman did mention in promos. Is how, you know, Undertaker's just getting by in these matches. He's just pulling out, you know, these past few years. So he's kind of hinted at that. But, yeah, it's a no-brainer in the finish.
What do you think, Dylan?
Well, never has there been a match I've been less interested in that I have more to say about. So get ready.
and you're a motherfucker that can talk, too. Holy shit.
For starters, I actually think it's weird because I really hated a lot of the Paul Heyman on the mic stuff last year, which is odd because I'm generally a Paul Heyman on the mic fan. So I think this angle has actually sort of returned him to the Paul Heyman I like. I think he's been excellent on the mic throughout the whole thing. So from that perspective, it's been kind of nice because I've gotten away from a guy who really annoyed the piss out of me last year during the whole Punk feud, which I thought was just terrible. And I realized that a lot of people love that stuff. To me, it was just awful. And the Triple H level on the mic, boring.
Yeah, I'll count that in a second.
So I got to say that from that perspective, you know, the use of Heyman, I think, has been the one thing that has kind of saved the build to this stuff, because he's been so effective that there have been a few times, like, you know, the Chicago Raw being probably the greatest example, where he actually made me give a shit enough to, you know, to for a fleeting moment think, hey, maybe I want to see this match. On paper, it's not that I dislike either guy. In fact, I really like both guys a lot. But, you know, the problem is, first of all, there's a few weird dynamics at play because, you know, Meltzer some time back, and I think Chris will remember this for sure, you know, he talked about how they actually were trying to set up that Lesnar-Taker match a few years back, right after that little thing they did at the UFC, and that Vince actually wanted to fight Dana White on the same show at WrestleMania. So
that's correct.
This is
this is some perverse thing that has been going on, like, for a while. This was a match that I think Vince had a special interest in for a while. So I think this match was going to happen, even though, to me, the more logical match to have done this year, to sort of, especially coming off the Punk Taker match, where I think nobody on earth thought Punk could win either, was Cena Taker. Because Cena's the only guy that I think, they've not done a WrestleMania match, and I think he's the only guy where you could feasibly see him beating Undertaker at this point. Pretty much everybody else, it's kind of like there's no way it's going to happen. Now, having said that, the way this feud has been built, the way they set things up, there's a part of me who thinks they're actually crazy enough to have Brock win. Now, I would never pick Brock. I'd say, you know, there's less than a 10% chance of that, although I think there's a greater chance of him winning than there was of Punk winning last year. But the way they've set this up, they've almost set this up to make you think that Brock has a chance precisely because he's looked like an ass so many times. And in the sense that they've been trolling and screwing with the smart fans for the last, you know, year, maybe that's the goal, is to make Brock look weak and look like he has no chance so that you think they're going to have him win. But I, given the circumstance, given that it's WrestleMania, given that it's The Undertaker, I don't think that's going to work. And I think that's going to hurt the match because the near falls aren't going to be as dramatic, and the build to the big spots won't be as dramatic. I think it's really funny because I talked to somebody who's, you know, sort of on the periphery of the business and knows guys in the business the other day about this match, and there's still apparently people who are afraid within the company that Brock Lesnar is going to shoot on The Undertaker, which I think is hilarious. but again, that is completely something I can believe a wrestler actually thinking, knowing how they can be. I expect that they may tease and sort of play with that as an idea, actually, at points in the match, that Brock is, to use the Russoism, going off script. I actually think it's going to be better than maybe, like, Johnny Sorrow fears it's going to be. But there's nothing to be excited about, because it's not just that the streak is almost for sure not going to be over. It's also that there's really no logical place to go forward with either The Undertaker or Brock unless Brock wins.
That's
Brock wins, there's a lot of places you can go. But if Brock loses, there's really no place either guy can go. So it's just another one-off sort of Clash of the Titans Mania main event, which is wonderful except for the fact that they build these shows, they build everything all year long to these shows with part-timers, guys that only work 6 days a year, and then they wonder why all the other shows don't do as well. Well, there's your answer.
No, you're right. And what I would argue is that the problem, and this has been the problem with Brock since day one, you know, when they built up to the great Cena-Brock match, is that their mentality has been, we're going to put all these people over the former UFC champion because he's a part-timer. He doesn't do it. I mean, Cena beat him, right? Triple H beats him. CM Punk beats him. So we've had 2 years of people beating Brock Lesnar left and right when he finally shows up. So there's no reason to think that this is the time they're finally going to push Brock Lesnar. I mean, the guy's not going to go on the road. He's not going to be a traveling draw for them. He costs way too much money. So there's absolutely no reason to use him on a regular capacity. So there's no point in him winning this match. At least with Punk last year, you could argue, well, he's a young guy who, if he beat Taker, it's because that they really want to, like, you know, establish another guy in the upper echelon of legend type material, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that Punk had a chance in hell last year. I'm just saying at least there's that argument. There's no argument for Brock winning this year, you know, especially when you look at how they've booked him the last 2 years to lose every big match he's been in, you know. So I don't know. I'm not excited about this match. I'm hoping that the low expectations make it a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm curious to one thing that's going to happen here. When we talk about the fans coming in, is how the fans, and you know, there'll be definitely a heavy internet fan base.
There's no doubt about it. Will they chant for Sting during this match? We want Sting. We want Sting. Because Sting is very big among the Europeans. So I'm curious to see if something happens on that regard. Will the fans like turn on the match in a way?
I don't know, man. Take
well,
your
well, they've not been hot for the angle. They've not been hot for the angle. So, I mean, you know, are certainly not as hot as you would expect. So, I, you know, one of the things with the Taker matches is they've always the Taker match has always won the crowd over, and most of the time it's had the crowd from the very beginning.
Yeah.
This is the first match that he's been in years where I kind of don't know if that's going to happen. You know, I mean, this is going to have to be a well-protected match on the card. You know, if you ask me to put betting odds on it, I'd certainly say that it's more likely that it's going to do well live. But it also would not shock me in the least if it was sort of a lukewarm response.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that?
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at TheHistoryOfWWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
But you think about this. I mean, how many times have you heard this for the last few years? The real main event of WrestleMania is the streak match. Yeah, well, not this year, and that's okay. You know, this year it's all about Daniel Bryan and not the streak match. So, and we won't say anything about last year's Rock Cena match where they shoehorned in the year before into the title match because that stunk.
Yeah, well, I mean, originally, remember, this year it was supposed to be Rock Brock, but then, you know, Rock got injured and whatever. So, you know, I think this could have been the Cena taker.
See, now, I would have loved a rematch from, what was that, SummerSlam? 2002. See, now that, you know, that would have grabbed my attention.
No, that would have been great, because then you feature two part-timers. You know,
right.
Or guys, you know, there's nothing like the streak hanging over their head, and they can put on a great match without kind of taking someone else's match, or, you know. Like,
well, first of all, The Rock's not going to put on a great match with anybody, so let's just get that out of my
head. I really liked that first Cena Rock match when I rewatched it.
Oh.
You know,
I've hated every Rock match he's been in since he's come back. I'd literally rather watch Rufus Jones from 1989.
Was Rufus Jones even alive in 1989?
Dude, he was in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
WWC.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
You're feuding with the Batten Twins.
Yeah, no, and I thought Punk got as much out of The Rock as he could have last year. And I was not a big fan of those matches. I wouldn't call them match of the years or anything, but I thought they were fine. But the second Cena Rock match was horrible. But I wish that they had done something better. My fantasy booking for this match is that the Punk's last two marquee matchups were Brock and Taker, and he runs in the middle of the ring, and you wonder which guy he's going to attack. You know, the guy who he lost to at WrestleMania last year, or, you know, the Paul Heyman guy. So that's my fantasy book, and CM Punk returns during this match. Crowd goes nuts. Punk turns heel. Punk turns heel part one. Okay, and that's the only way I can see Brock doing the streak is Punk comes in and, you know, gets his revenge on Taker a year later.
And then Will's fantasy booking is that Punk runs in again during the main event.
Yes! Damn it! Damn it!
Yeah, and then Punk runs into the Divas match, and then Punk runs into the Battle Royal. Hey, maybe he's one of the spots.
Punk runs for president and wins.
Punk takes the last three spots in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, so. All three of them.
So he gets to get thrown out twice before he's eliminated.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You guys just sold me on actually staying awake for the first hour of WrestleMania. Thank you.
CM Punk becomes the Herald of Galactus, and destroy the universe together.
I have no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that CM Punk think of coming back in this match. Just bullshitting. Same way I wish Mark Henry would win the Battle Royal. It's not going to happen, but, you know, I'm not the...
No, you should just... Mark Henry should come out, just lift up the ring and toss everyone out.
Tip it over.
I will say...
Yeah, tip it over, exactly.
I will say this, though, in defense of Punk. The last few years, Punk really has been kind of one of those mechanic guys where, at Mania... He's going to give it his all. I know when we watched the Jericho match from 28.
Loved it.
It really stood the test of time. Even though I hated that build-up that Johnny loved. The Taker-Punk match from last year.
World's biggest Jerry Lawler fan doesn't like it. The most Memphis-y build-up ever.
Was like the worst of Memphis. And then, Dylan, you were there, right, for Punk Orton, right?
Very good match live.
Yeah. See,
very good match.
The year before, Punk and Mysterio tore it up.
Oh, I loved Punk and Mysterio. Wow,
so that's what I'm saying, though. So Punk has been kind of that go-to guy in terms of having, like, really good to great matches at WrestleMania the last few years. And I think as we've seen kind of with the disappointment in this show, this is where you miss a guy like Punk, you know, where you're not really excited from a matchup point to have a guy like that in there, especially when they're wasting guys like Sheamus, Del Rio. I know there's a lot of Ziggler fans, Mysterio, Mark Henry, when you're wasting those guys in that battle royal, you know, or Goldust, who's had a hell of a year or hell of a comeback. So anyway, let's move forward, onward and forward. Johnny P, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. The real question, does Triple H have the balls to book himself to go over?
Yeah, right. yeah, all right. Well, if we can't have Punk, at least we can have another one of my indie guy wet dreams from back in 2002. Yeah, like, it's insane to me. Unless this is, and they don't go with like crazy booking that I can think of on a show like this, but it would be insane to me if Daniel Bryan doesn't, like, narratively speaking, business speaking, any metric, you know, crowds, the guy who's going to work the house shows after this, like, it would be insane for Triple H to go over here. I'm just saying that from, I'm not even giving some, you know, pat internet opinion about Triple H or anything. I think it'd be insane, and I think he knows that. He's not an idiot. I mean, he bumped like crazy for him on Monday night. That was a great closing go-home segment. Because then your main event becomes like an evolution triple threat that only like four people from 2004 care about.
Yeah, but that's what scares me, is that I think they might feel that Evolution was bigger than it really was, even though that was the doldrums of the industry.
They really haven't like built it up like that. And not only that, the only way I can see them doing that, if they really, really want to screw with people, and I just don't see them wanting to give the effort to do this, not because they're lazy, just because I just think they book more traditionally, in my mind, at WrestleMania, for the most part, historically. The only way they could pull this off is if some kind of chicanery happens, everybody and their mother comes down to help Triple H somehow, he gets the pin, the place goes insane thinking that, you know, Daniel Bryan's not even going to be in the title match. And then, see, the weird thing is they have to work like 15 minutes before this could even happen, and that could be a mess. But if somehow Daniel Bryan would get into the match, and here's the problem right away with that logic. The minute I say that out loud, the authority figure is Triple H. I mean, who's going to allow him to be in the match in any kind of legal sense?
Vince.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go. See, now you just gave me the gateway for my nonsense theory that I don't even buy. But my theoretical would be that Triple H goes over to just make people insane. They have this Evolution three-way where the people, you know, 70-some thousand are just chanting yes, and Daniel Bryan, and I'm sure that you'll get your prerequisite, like Macho Man chants, Jericho, Bautista, just everything that they've been doing for months. And then Daniel, you know, Vince comes out, adds him to the match. Well, I mean, they could even do it at the beginning of the match, I guess. But I'm wasting too much time on this theory. The basic answer
Hogan, because he's the host, and apparently the hosts have that power as the Rock.
Yeah, well, the magic of WWE, if anybody has a microphone, they can make something, you know, anything happen. So he has to clear at least the first hurdle. That's the first part of the double hurdle. I think he absolutely has to clear. So it really becomes a question of the main event.
Fair enough. Okay, I thought you were going to continue talking. A little dead air, never hurt anybody. Zellner, how do you see this going down, brother?
You know, it's a no-brainer. I mean, Daniel Bryan wins this match. It's the fact that how is the finish going to come down? Will it be clean, or will it be, you know, people coming out to interfere, or how will it go? And I've just been sitting and thinking about it. I would not be surprised. And I don't know if they'll do this. I would not be surprised if they pull some kind of shit where there's no finish to this match. They put both in the title match. And that's where Daniel pins Triple H, is in the title match.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just some of the stuff that's thought about.
I hate both of your ideas so far, by the way.
Doesn't it say something that, but I don't know that Chris wants that. It doesn't sound like he does any more than I want the theory that I presented. Exactly. See, isn't it crazy that they've created this world where, like, we're all sitting there going, how are they going to screw up the easiest, you know, David Goliath, you know, David beats all the Goliaths and wins story. Like, it's just, we're already fantasy booking against our own wishes, you know?
But I think everybody knows for sure that Brian's going to win the match. Brian's coming out to win, no matter what. He's going to be the champion. It's just how do you get there? And that's the thing with this whole card in general is, I don't know if there's been a mania in recent years that of all the main matches going in, we know exactly who's winning.
Or who should win.
Yeah, well, no, who's actually going to win. Because I think it's pretty much set in stone. I don't think they're going to do anything to go against it.
I don't trust this company.
But I really think that's going to mean everything. All these matches are set and locked in and been locked in for the past month or so. So it's just how do you get there?
Yeah. What do you think, Dylan? How do you think they're going to get there?
Well, first of all, let me tell you what they should do. Here's what they should do, and I think a lot of people have suggested this, but I'm going to add a little addendum that my good buddy and brother Devin mentioned to me. What they should do is, you know, have Triple H stand up on the apron, turn around, kiss Stephanie, then get hit with a knee and pinned in 17 seconds.
Yes.
Then Brie Bella should run out and pile drive Stephanie through a table and break her neck. She walks around with a neck brace on for the next 5 months because they've done. And the reason why has absolutely nothing to do with how I feel about Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, because I actually think especially Stephanie's been tremendous in this angle. It's because it's the logical thing to do. The problem I have with this is a rare case. And actually, it's odd because there's another match like this on the show, which is the Shield match, where I actually think the match could be pretty good. But I'm not sure that a good match is what the angle calls for. Now, on the one hand, they've outed themselves. They've given themselves an out in the sense that they've done this injury angle, you know, with Daniel Bryan. So it now makes more sense for him to be an underdog against Triple H rather than just come in and vanquish him relatively easily and then go into the main event. So it makes sense from that perspective. They've sort of covered themselves. But I have no interest in seeing and this does have to do with my biases. I have no interest in seeing a 30-minute Triple H wank fest. Even against Daniel Bryan, absolutely none whatsoever. And I don't think it really helps him. But more to the point, what concerns me is, I mean, Bryan's going to win. I would be absolutely shocked if they did any sort of weird thing where Triple H wins and he gets inserted later. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Bryan will win. I think he'll win and win clean. But what concerns me is if you see the sort of Kevin Nash, Triple H style, they lose, but not really. You know, the slip on the banana peel, Daniel Bryan wins with a roll-up. Like, that I think is, well, I wouldn't say it's likely. I think it's a very distinct possibility. And this should be a match where Daniel Bryan not only wins it, but he wins it decisively, easily, quickly. That's what the build should have been. That's how they very easily could have done it. You know, I understand why they're not doing it. I understand that they've, you know, integrated Triple H and Stephanie very well into the storyline, but there was, I think, more to be gained by having him have a dominant performance over Triple H than there is for him to have a, you know, 30-minute sort of underdog performance where he comes back and wins on a banana peel, or even in a decisive fashion, especially because WWE historically does not do well booking underdog champions as babyfaces. And before somebody says, well, what about John Cena? That's bullshit. John Cena is a babyface ace who wrestles from underneath by selling. That is not the same thing as being a true underdog. You know, I have absolutely no faith in them booking Daniel Bryan as a sort of consistent underdog guy. That's why the angle at the end of Raw was so good, is because he was presented as an ass kicker. And that's, they need to find a happy medium where he's in between the sort of Rey Mysterio underdogish guy and the John Cena sort of ace guy. And I don't think you can go too far to either extreme with him, but you've got to find a way to put him in that happy medium without exposing him one way or the other.
Sorrow.
Well, I was going to say, and not to you all, because you agree, but the people listening and some of the people I've read, if you don't really think, if you really, I've read people go, oh, you know, Triple H is going to book himself to win WrestleMania, and you just know it. I'm like, you really think that, you know, I'm a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. You know, no. King of Bryan just had a Rolling Stone article written about him. You know, no. Yeah, Daniel Bryan's winning. It is, of course, and how it gets there.
That's the important part.
In fact, I haven't even thought about, 17 seconds. That's good. I like that. Brie Bella coming out of nowhere and pile driving 70 to the table, though, sounds like creepy. But hey, just saying.
Hey, Macho Man did it to Ricky Morton. That shit works.
Ricky Morton only, looked like an ugly girl. You know, Stephanie just is an ugly girl. Big difference. And, but I would like, I like Triple H wrestling wise. I like watching him wrestle. I'd like to see them have a good back and front match. Hey, call me nuts, but, I do, and so I dig it. But I do like the 17 seconds idea. I haven't even thought of that. They might have all kinds of people coming out and what have you. But I think that I'd actually like to see a good back and forth match between the guys, myself, because I enjoy Triple H, and let's face it, I the last time Triple H, fought an internet darling who was short, he tapped out in the middle of the ring. So, Chris, come on.
Would that have been 10 years ago? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It didn't work out all that well for everyone. It did happen.
Understatement of the year, Johnny. Understatement of the year. Especially the people celebrating in the ring at the end. Yeah. So, anyway.
It happened.
It did.
And that was at 20. This is 30.
Well, no. Here's Mike.
At 10, Brett won.
I think Dylan's fear of Triple H allowing Daniel Bryan to win without him actually looking good, I think that's everyone's biggest fear, right? Or that he wins the three-way, not by nailing Batista or Orton with the knee, but by, Orton giving a last gasp RKO to Batista, and then Bryan gets the fluke win, or Batista drops the bomb or something.
People don't care, though.
What?
People, I really don't think, I worry about that stuff as guys are coming up, so to speak, like the way they chopped out Punk's legs in like his first title run, or things that they did to maybe like RVD or Hardy, anybody who came in the crosshairs of Triple H back when he was active all the time.
Right.
I honestly don't think that the crowd there or the crowd at home gives a crap how he wins. They just want him to win. Like, I understand what you're saying from, like, a purist standpoint.
I'm not even thinking of a purist. I'm not even thinking of, like, a match quality standpoint at all.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is what Dylan was talking about. Like, Rey Mysterio had the perfect feel-good story, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, Eddie just died. He lasts longer than anybody ever in the Rumble, And then they proceeded to have every single person on the SmackDown roster beat that guy for a few months.
Yeah, but Ray didn't have this force of nature.
2005, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero had the entire fucking Mexican-American population.
Daniel Bryan right now. In terms of live response, Johnny's right. In terms of live response, he is right in the sense that nothing like this sort of Pavlovian. But in terms of drawing money, Ray decimates Daniel
Bryan. Right.
Daniel Bryan can draw 4,000 people to see the rap.
That the company measures ratings, what do you call it, merchandise sales, being ambassador for the company, those things Ray had in spades. That's what we're talking about, Johnny.
I totally got you. I just...
But things can change.
Okay, change. Johnny.
They did something wrong 6 years ago. It doesn't mean they're going to do something wrong now.
Well, here, my only point is just that story is from Monday and on, in my eyes. I mean, I could be wrong about that. You guys could be right based on the presentation. But I don't think it matters for this evening. It matters going forward what they do starting Monday. If the plan really is, as we all assume, for him to win.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, it never really matters in the immediate, though. I mean, that's the thing. Right. It never really matters. If that night, if Jeff Hardy beat you with a roll-up over Triple H, let's just speaking theoretically, well, the crowd's still going to pop huge in that moment. It's always about the aftermath. I mean, maybe more so in this case. I do see what you're saying.
Also, that's the same thing with Cena. And why Cena's programs have been hurt in the past is because, you know, Cena gets beat within an inch of his life. Instead of being pissed off or frustrated or sad, he comes out and fucking drops jokes and acts like he's not hurt. I mean, you know, those are the things that kill it. Like when we talked about the Bray Wyatt match earlier, if Bray Wyatt wins this match, Cena has to be losing it. He has to be doubting himself, questioning his worth as a wrestler, if he's one of the old guys now. You know, he can't come out and just crack, deliverance jokes. He can't, you know, right? I mean, because that does Bray Wyatt no good.
No, you're right.
It does. It makes a loss no good. That's
but it would be logical considering that that's who John Cena is.
But it doesn't help, though. That's the problem, Johnny. That's the problem with the way WWE has done things in the past. That's why we're all concerned. Because
I mean, that's character development. I mean, that's character consistency.
That's character, you know? Suck assness. That's why
people, you know, a guy who jokes his way around things that really should be bothering him, you know. But he's crying on the inside.
Yeah, it's a bad character.
Yeah, but Triple H not putting people over is character consistency too.
That's right.
Yeah, and they did that amazing video on Raw.
It was great.
It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And the fact that it was narrated by Stephanie made it even so much better. It was great. And when they got to Angle, they just went, you can't even, you know, be awesome. And they still have some weird respect for Angle, because they didn't like really shit on him. Yeah, you can't even beat him if you're the best.
And I'm going to throw this out at the panel here, and I'm really interested in Chris's and Dylan's response to this point. Daniel Bryan really got saved by CM Punk walking out, because you know, the idea, at least when you hear the sheets, and I don't have any personal insight to this, this is just what I've read from Meltzer and everyone else who said so, is that, you know, this angle with Triple H was building up to the Triple H Punk program, and that because of the Daniel Bryan response, they probably would have figured a way to get Bryan into the main event anyway, but that this was going to be Triple H going over CM Punk clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring, because, you know, Punk's not going to re-sign anyway in July. You know, so this match was going to be Triple H against Booker T, RVD, Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, all over.
Nah, he was going to lose to Punk. He was
no,
lose
he wasn't. Punk. There's no way.
No way.
No way.
He doesn't respect him. He didn't respect his body.
He was going to do it. He was going to do it for the same reasons he's going to do in this. He was going to do it to see. Yeah,
it's because of the contract. It's because of the contract situation. If Punk would have been locked up for 2 or 3 years, yeah, I could see definitely Triple H losing the Punk. But there was no way that was going to happen with Punk having that little bit of time.
First of all, hold on. Who is Punk? What big name guy? For all the talk about how Punk has been elevated, what big name guy has CM Punk beat, with the exception of John Cena, obviously, over the last couple of years during this great run? I mean, he lost Lesnar to The Rock decisively. He lost that match.
Did he?
He lost to someone.
No, I thought he beat Lesnar.
He beat Lesnar.
I'm almost positive he lost that match.
I'm looking it up right now.
No, the SummerSlam match, he absolutely lost it.
He did lose to Brock Lesnar. Yep, you're right.
He loses to The Rock. He lost to Lesnar. He lost to Taker last year. That was my big argument about last year with the Taker match. It's like, wow, CM Punk gets to wrestle Taker after losing to everyone. He lost to John Cena in that match on Raw last year. He lost the match against The Rock, and his reward is to go against the streak. I mean, it was completely stupid. The idea that Punk was ever really elevated into the upper echelon, I kind of find laughable, because yes, he was sort of the de facto second guy of the full-timers after Cena, but that's sort of indicative of how ridiculous the situation they're in right now is, where you've got all these other part-time guys that are already going to be always going to be put above him, which is probably one of the reasons why he doesn't work there right now.
I have to disagree with you a little bit, because I think Punk was so over that he was in the echelon of only two guys there, him and Cena, who were bulletproof for losing.
But he really wasn't, though. That's the problem. Yeah, and
I never thought Punk looked weak or anything when he walked.
No, when people look back at Punk's run, and we've talked about this before on the message boards, when people look back at Punk's run, it's not going to be looking back like Austin was only on top for, what, 3 years? I mean, Austin was not a huge draw for like 10 years like Hogan or anything, right? I mean, or Cena, yeah, who's been there for 10 years. When people look back at Punk's run, it's going to be, oh, yeah, I remember CM Punk. Yeah, I remember him. It's not going to be, oh, my God, CM Punk. He was one of the biggest names in wrestling.
Is CM Punk at WrestleMania?
It's not going to happen. What?
Well, then why the fuck are we talking?
Well, because we're talking about the booking. Because we're talking about the booking of this company. He's an example. That's why we're talking about it.
It doesn't even have to be Punk. I mean, Ray is an example. Like,
Jeff Hardy.
The thing is, to me, Jeff Hardy's another good one. The concern is, it's not that Daniel Bryan has a win. I think there's absolutely no way he doesn't walk out with a title. I actually am more sure of that than I am of Taker beating Brock. But I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious when I say that. But I don't. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are they going to do after the fact? And how is he going to go over? Is this going to be something that gets kickstarted in a meaningful way, where he's made to look good and he's made to look like? I mean, look at the SummerSlam match with Cena. That was a great example of how you do it.
Yes.
He beat the ace of the company clean in the whistle with a knockout shot in the center of the ring. You don't get any more. I mean, but do I trust Triple H to do something like that against anybody? Not really. You know, he might. I don't trust him to.
I think Brian's next program is going to be against who doesn't get pinned in the three-way. That probably be Big Dave. So if you put Brian and Batista in a singles feud, you know, I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one to see how that plays out.
Well, I think Big Dave's good enough as a heel. You know what I mean? Because if people are already booing you and calling you Batista, and you know, all he has to do is come out in his different outfits each week. I mean, it's really simple. I mean, you know, the biggest programs don't have to be rocket science. They don't have to have intricate layers upon layers. Yeah. I'm not saying that we don't like that stuff. I'm just saying it could be, you know, this guy beats the big bumbling fucking roided up oaf. There's nothing wrong with that. With that as a program, you know.
Yeah, that's about angle wise. Yeah, it's easy angle wise. But when it comes to the actual matches and the finish of the matches.
How do you
protect Dave?
You don't have to protect Dave.
Oh, they won't protect Dave.
Orton's taking the pinfall.
Yeah, that's about in after Mania. I'm talking about when Brian and Big Dave had their feud. You know, they want to keep Dave protected. I'm pretty much guaranteed that, because they want to turn him face. That's already been said. They want to turn him back face.
Well, then you don't put him on top of the ring because he's going to get booed.
Well, not right now. I'm talking about when it comes time for movie.
That's
promotion.
What I'm saying. You don't protect him as a heel. You have him. You have him.
Well, no.
Trouble.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You have him feud with Triple H, because if Triple H is going to be on TV, they've already done the stuff with Stephanie. If Triple H is going to be on TV wasting my time and making me want to shoot myself, he may as well be away from the title. Put Batista against him. They have a history. They have a feud. They've already done the angle with Steph slapping Batista. Shift him over to that. Don't even have an angle after the fact. I mean, I agree with Chris that in theory it makes more sense for the guy that doesn't need to fall to get the next match. But it doesn't have to be that.
Exactly.
But the thing is Triple H going to be still in the position of power?
I don't think you're going to be seeing. I agree with you, Chris. Vince, I don't think you're going to be seeing them around that much.
Yeah, Vince is going to come back. I'm thinking.
Yeah, it'll be Vince. Oh, who owns this company? Yo, listen, little girl. Listen, Paul. Only one guy owns this company.
Yeah, they failed.
That, you know?
Yeah, they failed, you know.
You failed to listen. I don't like Daniel Bryan,
so,
but you failed to listen to the fans, the universe. I never did, and that's why we have WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, it's obvious right there. Johnny P, I haven't heard your voice in a while, man. Tell me, do you think the booking of Mania is going to be a positive or negative for Bryan here?
I think it'll be a net positive. Of course, this all goes back to it all goes back to what we were talking before. Like, if we're doing a podcast about Mania, it's going to be really good for him, because I think, you know, we're 99.9% sure one way or another he's getting his moment at the end. Everybody gets to do the yes thing. It's going to be a big thing. Now, is this going to be an Eddie Guerrero or a Chris Benoit situation, or is this going to be, you know, something that launches him, maybe not to Austin or Rock?
But
type.
Why not those levels? That's the issue. Why not those levels?
Because the business just isn't at that point right now. The truth is, and I've talked about this, you know, off the air, so to speak, with most of you on this panel, like, in-ring, in a lot of ways, they just had their best year. They have a lot of good young talent. They've got a lot more, you know, in the pipeline, and they can weed out people that just don't work or tweak things if they want to. I just don't see culturally. I mean, people, that's the weird thing. I really feel strongly that people are so extreme in a lot of cases, whereas fans are just like, well, who's going to be the next? Everybody uses the phrase draw money. And I'm like, what does that really mean? Because, like, what really draws money? It seems like the metric is, like, Hogan, Austin, or Rock, or Flair for a period in the 80s. And that's just a ridiculous metric, because it's different circumstances, different variables. I think he'll do very well, but I don't think he's going to explode in the culture and he'll be, like, hosting Saturday Night Live or some whatever is relevant today to millennials. Like, I don't, and I'm the hugest Daniel Bryan fan, going back forever. But I think he'll do well. I think they need to tell. I mean, Dylan brought up one of my talking points for months now, which is like, why is he not being booked against giant guys where he uses, you know, speed and smarts and just resilience to beat these guys in the end? Like,
yeah.
I went back and watched his feud with Morishima. I mean, why they could do that with a few guys? I was an advocate before this all came up of, you know, switching him onto him versus Lesnar, and honestly beating Lesnar as much as it's
at SummerSlam. Build up that Bryan Lesnar SummerSlam match. I'm with you on that.
Well, yeah, they could still do it, and that would be awesome for me. I'd be front row on the network for $10 on that month. But I don't know that he's going to explode. But I think if they handled him smartly and carefully, they can do something cool with him.
Well, here's my counter to that, is that when the Punk thing happened, we're going to bring it up, because the thing with Punk was he was doing all the culturally cool things at the time, going mm-hmm. through the Comic-Cons. You know, now he's appearing on that Talking Dead show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did the skits with Jimmy Kimmel, you know, those type things, you know. Daniel Bryan is a star on Total Divas, you know, as is John Cena. But Daniel Bryan, I'm sure there are interests of his that, you know, could hit the mainstream within those interests.
He has. They've talked about it on SportsCenter, a Rolling Stone article. It's starting. And the difference here is, and I love Punk as much as you do. Well, maybe no one loves Punk as much as you. I love Punk too. He's not the most likable guy out in the media. Daniel Bryan is this plucky baby face, you know, guy, and Punk is who he is, and it's not the most sellable guy. You know?
God, I hope Johnny Starr was right. I just worry that the guy's a little too vanilla on the mainstream stage.
Me and Chris were arguing about this off the air earlier, where I was saying, you know, he was like, well, who are they going to get to replace Cena, you know, to do all these corporate things? I was like, fuck the corporate things. That's why people hate fucking Cena, because they don't think he's genuine, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it serves its purpose, but people look at Daniel Bryan, even Punk if you hate him. Those guys, I think that's why you see people getting behind them. You see people getting behind your Wyatts and your Shields and your Cesaros because they feel that there's a genuine factor in it. And we're not talking about internet smart fans. I mean, in the crowd chant for Cesaro or, you know, the Shield. These are casual fans, you know, or invested WWE fans, you know, people who follow it week to week, you know. So I have high hopes that if they push them, what you do, Dylan, and I think you'll agree with this, what you do is you have them win convincingly. Unlike Ray in 2005, 2006, who had a very high flyer move set. Ray wasn't known as kind of like an ass kicker ever, right? He was always underdog, and he was great at the role. But Daniel Bryan's a guy who'll kick your fucking head off. And so he kind of has that kind of moveset that allows for him to win convincingly and not say, oh, well, he got lucky and escaped by the skin of his teeth. No, he just kicked that dude's fucking head off. And so I think that's something that'll help protect him as champion, whereas with Ray it didn't. So I don't know. What do you think, Dylan?
I think that's what it should be. I agree with you that that he is a guy, and that's why I said there has to be a balance. He's not big enough where you can't. I mean, you can't be Bruno Sammartino. You just can't. I mean, whether you want him to be or not is irrelevant. It's just physically he can't be. But he also he can't be Rey Mysterio, not because he can't work that way, but because it doesn't benefit him.
Exactly.
They've got to find a way to take advantage of the fact that he is an underdog. He is a smaller guy. He can do that sort of underdog offensive stuff, but he's also a tough dude. He's kind of got that sort of psychotic energy to him. He throws the kicks. He's got the submissions. They've got to be able to harness all of that in a happy medium, like I said. And look, they may do it. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but I worry because the way up until this past week on Raw, which I go home angle was very good at the end of the show, but so much of it has been about him as the underdog. And I get that. I get that that's part of the build. I get that that's why they're going with the big delivery. But once he wins the title, it can't always be about him as this, you know, little underdog who does high flying moves. That's not going to work.
Right.
That's not how you make it. At the
Mania, he's been beat Triple H. He's been beat Orton and Batista, technically. So he's been beat Evolution in one night. So he's not underdog anymore. He is the man.
So he's no longer the little troll with a beard, huh?
Yeah, he is.
They got to end that shit real quick, too, right? That's no longer a talking point, the little troll.
Yeah, that's only the bad guys are saying it.
Well, that doesn't no good.
But that promo he cut after Raw was off the air on the network was a fantastic money promo that should be some televised on SmackDown. Because, he threw it all out there. It was great stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this up, guys. I know my man Johnny P is exhausted from a long.
He's fading.
He's fading. So Johnny P, we'll start with you. Your prediction: thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down for Mania this year? What do you think? What in your gut? What do you think we're going to be talking about Sunday night? What a great show this is! It was all right, or that show sucked.
Well, historically, I mean, unless you're like a super fan who finds things to really like, I mean, historically, they usually have like one match people remember and it just depends whether it's, you know, a main event people love or it's like the opener or something random. That kind of like, to me, kind of goes with, you know, what people end up remembering 5 years down the road. Like I was listening to another podcast on this network where they went through the WrestleManias. And it really came down to, you know, what people remembered as far as what were the good matches. And, you know, a lot of these have like 8 to 10 matches, but it's whatever the first or second one that comes to your mind kind of dictates it. So I'm going to say that unless, you know, sorry to be Dave Musgrave here, but unless, you know, Daniel Bryan flips out and kills Brie Bella, you know, in 6 months.
Easy, Bella. Holy shit.
See how I attached that to not only Benoit, but Dave Musgrave, because he's not here.
Canadian thinking. I got you. Canadian. Yeah. Canadian.
Well, they're all in cahoots. You know, I'm not completely implicating Dave Musgrave in that tragedy, but, you know, I've heard things. Who put that stuff up on Wikipedia? Dave Musgrave. Okay, I just said it, but anyway. But, no, as long as he wins and... There's you know, one to two good matches, and people, I feel like even if the main event isn't amazing, as long as he wins and the finish is cool, the last, like, you know, 10 to 30 seconds, people are going to remember this really fondly. You know, and then, you know, jokes aside, like the Benoit thing, if that doesn't happen and he retires gracefully and becomes like an agent or a trainer, that would be rerun on the network forever, and it would... They would push it to make sure you remembered it more fondly, even though the run didn't end up being amazing, you know? So I think, you know, people are going to get their moment. I'm personally excited because I didn't watch Money in the Bank 2011 with Punk got his moment. I didn't watch it live. I experienced it through the internet explosion and the sites going down one by one and people texting me. And that was really cool, but I wish I would have watched it live. And at least I get that opportunity this time to watch this guy. So I'm optimistic. You know, I seemed a little down about certain things, or I couldn't freaking remember who was in matches in the early things. But, you know, I'm excited for Mania. I'm always excited for Mania.
Zellner, do I have to ask?
I think it's going to be a good show. And like I said earlier, is, you know, the finishes are going to be predictable. But the main story out of this show, and we haven't talked about this at all on here, is the network. How will this show be on the network as far as will it crash?
That's true.
Will there be issues as far as video quality?
We might all be on here Sunday night bitching about the three matches we missed because our stream froze up.
Not me. None of us are going to see that. I forgot.
I am paying DirecTV for it. I don't trust the stream. I don't trust my internet connection.
I'm buying the pay-per-view. I'm going to have it both ways. I'm going to have it on the network on one television and on regular pay-per-view because I'm not taking a chance. I'm not risking it because I don't know what to expect.
Wow.
You know, what we've seen in the past is, you know, there have been issues with the live feeds. You know, going back from NXT, Main Event has had issues when they aired it live. Hall of Fame Saturday Night will... It'll be a good test run because it's going to be a long show. But still, it's not the same as Mania. So the network, I think, is going to be the big story coming out of this show is how they handled all the traffic and are they ready for this for the pay-per-views on the network.
Are they ready for the yes movement?
You know, it's a big deal because people are going to be fucking pissed off. If they, you know, the only way they watch us on the network and all of a sudden it goes out, you know, right when Triple H and Daniel Bryan get ready to go out in the ring.
Oh,
I mean, like, remember NXT, everybody was having, you know, it was fine until it came time for the main event, you know, right before the main event, the last 30, 45 minutes of the show. You don't want that in Mania.
Yeah.
My God, it would be a nightmare. So I think that is the true story of this show.
Hey, hold on, Chris. The nightmare would be that when the stream comes back, Triple H has the belt and he's raising it above his head. That would be the nightmare. Dylan, thumbs up or thumbs down, buddy?
I actually, because my expectations are so low, I actually think I'm going to end up liking it more, which sounds weird because then that's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like now I've artificially inflated the expectation. But that's a philosophical question we can debate on another podcast. But to me, the big thing is there's really three things, and I'll do Cliff Notes version on all of them. The first thing is, you know, how are the matches involving the younger guys, for lack of a better term, how are they going to be, you know, end and be developed, and what's going to come out of those, that being the Bray Wyatt, the Daniel Bryan, the Shield, guys like that. The other big story I agree with Chris is on the network, and he pretty much said everything that should be said on that. But to me, and we really didn't talk about this, I think the other, you know, sort of other thing that I think people could really be talking about coming out of the show is how the end of the main event, not the Triple H match, but the main event is, because I sort of agree with our good buddy Loss from ProWrestlingOnly.com, who thinks that it's going to be a very WWE Attitude Era-ish main event finishing run with, you know, either in the Triple H match or in the main event where Bryan's contesting for the title, with a bunch of guys coming out, lots of crazy run-ins, and you know, maybe not a screw job finish necessarily, but a finish where they sort of toy with that idea of a screw job, and then he has to overcome more than just the wrestlers. So I think you could be seeing, like, I kind of halfway expect the Shield to actually help Daniel Bryan at the end of the show and sort of fight off the Authority's last attempt to put him down, so to speak. So I kind of think we might be talking about the way in which the main event ends in terms of how it sets up stuff for the future and what it says about how they choose to book that big moment for Daniel Bryan.
And Sorrow, I'm not going to ask you if this is going to be a thumbs down show. I'm going to say, are you going to like it, love it, or is this going to be the greatest Mania of all time?
Not the greatest Mania of all time, because that was WrestleMania 1 that I was at. In Philadelphia at Spectrum on closed circuit theater, but
so you weren't technically in the Garden?
No, I was not in the Garden. I was at the Spectrum watching it on giant screens in a sold out Spectrum. So it was awesome. It was so loud. It was crazy. WrestleMania is my Super Bowl. Even when it sucks, it's still my Super Bowl. And I look forward to it every year. And I think this one is... I'm really looking forward to it because, like you, Johnny P, like, the East Coast indie scene, man, I was there, man.
I remember.
And Daniel and Bryan Danielson, American Dragon, of all the guys I'd see there who were so talented, the last guy who I thought was going to be the biggest thing going in WWE, you know, 7, 8, 9 years later, not him. It wouldn't have been him. I think I would have picked Homicide over him because of his personality. You know,
no, he's right. Joe, he's totally right.
I was all about Joe. I was all about Joe and Punk and
low key.
Shit, and fucking Trent Acid. I thought Trent Acid is a great talent.
Good Andrew.
You must have been on acid. Holy shit.
I know. Well, you know what? When Trent Acid wasn't fucked up, he was a great wrestler.
Xavier.
But leave that. Xavier, no. But still, yeah, I have that connection as well. And I'm so loving this because it's going where it's going now. Now, I'll put this out there. If they actually don't put the belt on Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, I will be everyone goes, oh, Johnny, he just loves everything. I will be the loudest of voice bitching going. On the post-WrestleMania 30th show here on the Place to Be Nation, it's going to be hosted by Will.
Good plug.
And we'll all be on there. A cheap plug. I will be the loudest voice shouting about everything sucks if they don't have the belt on Daniel Bryan at the end of the show.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to agree with all of you, even if you all disagreed. And I'm actually looking forward to this show a lot. I think that there are enough good match potentials on there to have the match quality. Surprisingly, I thought the best build of any match was that Triple H Daniel Bryan feud. I thought that was a great feud. And I hate Triple H. God, I want him off my screen. I can only imagine.
I love him, and I can't wait to see him get beat.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him never wrestle again after this, but, you know. Anyway, that goes for him, his henchman Kane, and those two losers.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Losers. Nothing.
Yeah. Two guys. The ultimate success story of two guys who are about to be let go, and now are you're still on TV because they worked their asses off. Please.
A lot of untalented people are rich and famous, man. That's all I got to say about that one.
I will defend the Outlaws to my dying day because you took the real Double J and Rockabilly, and they made it. And that's what we all always go on about how awesome that is for guys who could do that, and you know, so but not them.
Yeah. Now the real Double J was pretty awesome in Memphis, where he should have stayed. Rockabilly. Yeah. Anyway, having said that, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. I'm really excited for the show. Hopefully, all of you can join me on Sunday when we do the WrestleMania reaction here at the Place to Be Nation. But if not, I want to thank Johnny P, Chris Zellner, Dylan, and Johnny Sorrow. And until Sunday night, see you. Bye. Tasting